Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever, and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, we will continue our worship service with the singing of Psalter 227, stanzas 1 and 2. O Lord of hosts, how lovely thy tabernacles are! For them my heart is yearning in banishment afar. My soul is longing, fainting, thy sacred courts to see. My heart and flesh are crying, O living God, for thee. He mentioned Psalter 227, stanzas 1 and 2. Thank you. A scripture reading for this morning you can find in the book of Ruth, the first chapter we mentioned to you, Ruth chapter 1. But before we all read the holy law of God, God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, thy manservant nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. We mention to you Ruth chapter 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, Surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, Turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say, I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons? Would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes, that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So they two went, until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them, and they said, Is this Naomi? And she said unto them, Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very, very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabite is her daughter-in-law with her, which returned out of the country of Moab. And they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. Thus far.
Congregation, we wish to remember in prayer the Stephen Van Fort family, who were blessed with a healthy baby boy. Let us ask the Lord for his presence and blessing in this morning. Let us pray together. Almighty, eternal Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, thou who hast created all things and upholds all things, and in thee we live and move and have our being. And thou art that almighty, infinitely holy God who is looking down upon us from heaven at this very moment. And Lord, we read in thy word that thou art too pure of eyes to look upon sin, and we are sin. What a wonder may it be to each one of us that we are still in the land of the living, in the time of grace, and that again we may enter into thy house to hear what thou hast to say unto us. Lord, we have rebelled against thee. We have left thee with our covenant head Adam, but thou hast went after him, seeking him, calling, Where art thou? And thou art the same today. It's thy long-suffering patience and mercy and goodness unto us unworthy sinners that thou art yet willing to speak to us through thy word and through sacrament in this morning. Oh, we beg thee then, Lord, thou who art that triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, work mightily, irresistibly, and bless thy word for the honor and the glory of thy most holy and worthy name, but also for the salvation of sinners, for comfort for thy dear people. Lord, we beg thee that thou would gather with us, but thou come with the presence of thy Holy Spirit. And may we plead upon thy own promise that thou hast given in thy word. Thou hast said, Where two or three are gathered together in thy name, I will be in the midst. Be in our midst in this morning, Lord. Come, work mightily, irresistibly, conquer hearts. Take away hearts of stone and give hearts of flesh. Change enemies into friends. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, our only help and our expectation, may it be in thee alone. May we together then look up unto thee, from whence and from whom cometh all our help, not only for all our physical needs, but especially for the needs of our never-dying eternal souls. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, that thou would remember them that are yet dead in sins and trespasses, that thou would, in thy sovereign mercy and grace and good pleasure, pass them by and say, live, and that they may truly come to life, spiritual life. And remember them whom thou hast given that spiritual life. Remember those poor and needy ones who do not dare say they belong to thee, those who are burdened with sin and iniquity, those who are burdened with who they yet remain so sinful in their thoughts, their words, their deeds, and their whole being. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, that through thy word and sacrament that there may be comfort for poor and needy sinners. Bless thy word richly then to the glory of thy name and for our eternal salvation. Take away all the other cares, all that would hinder us in listening. Take away all other distractions and give opening and freedom to preach, but also to hear. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, that thy word may be proclaimed, thus saith the Lord, and that thou would accompany with the power of the Holy Spirit, that it may enlighten dark, sinful minds, that it may renew hearts, and that hearts may go out unto thee, that there may be born in the hearts of sinners that hunger, that thirst, that desire for thee, as we have read of Ruth, that thy God would be my God and thy people my people. O Lord, we beg thee, it's thy work. We are hopeless and helpless, unable to do anything. The only thing that we can bring forth is unbelief and sin. We need thy grace. We need thy Holy Spirit. We pray then that thou would remember all those who are sick and afflicted, those who have been in the hospital and who could return home, those who had accidents at work and yet are in the hospital, those who have witnessed serious callings. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, remember all of us. Remember those little tiny babies also in the hospital, one in Toronto and one in Iowa. Oh, wilt thou care for them, Lord? Their life is in their hands. Give health. Give that they may grow if it is in thy will, and that at the appointed time they may return home to be with their parents. We beg and ask thee, Lord, to remember those parents who have received another healthy baby, a baby boy. Give them thankful hearts that thou hast spared life and thou hast given life. Oh, may this little child have been born to be born again, as we all need, each of us. We need that spiritual renewal, that life. We are born dead in sins and trespasses. We know it, Lord. We've been taught it, but may it become a need. May it be confession of our hearts unto thee, and that we may be like that publican crying unto thee, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, remember then also Jessie, as she will be baptized as an adult. Give her what she stands in need of, and bless this sacrament to her heart by the power of the Holy Spirit. But it's a sacrament for the whole congregation. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, teach us that when we see that water, how filthy and polluted we are, and that we need what that water points to that blood, to that all-atoning blood of the Lamb of God who came not only to live upon this earth, whom thou hast given to be born in this world, not only to live a sinless life, to fulfill the law for transgressors, but also to come to satisfy that infinite justice that we have offended with our sin, original and all our actual sins. Oh, may we be given to see by the work of the Holy Spirit, be given to look outside of self unto thee, unto that only mediator and what thou hast done, and to that precious blood that we read in thy word, that blood that cleanses from all sin. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, then work mightily with thy Holy Spirit, applying thy word and the sacrament. We beg and ask thee, Lord, to remember all those who are mourning, widows, widowers, those who have lost children, a brother, a sister, a friend. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, sanctify all the callings that come unto us through death, through sickness, but also through thy word. Remember those who are also in Bethany Care Home. Care for them, Lord. Remember them. Prepare them for that day that they must leave this life. Bless thy word richly to their never dying souls. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, have mercy. We pray and ask thee to remember also all mission work among Jew and Gentile. Bless it richly that thy kingdom may come. But also may we ask thee again, Lord, that thou would richly bless thy word also in Bolivia. Help thy servant there, Pastor Marco, the elders, the deacons, the church workers, and give that thy word may be richly blessed, that many Bolivians would be born again and come to know that there is sin, but may they also come to know of that only sinless Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But we beg thee, Lord, do not only bless thy word in faraway lands and nations, but also among us here in Cortland, but also may we beg thee in our denomination. Lord, thou art the King of the church. Work mightily, irresistibly, and we beg thee, Lord, help all thy servants throughout the entire world to preach the precious gospel. Lord, we beg thee, give light, give thy Holy Spirit, and richly bless it, that children would be born again, teenagers, adults, but may it also be older ones, those who may be close to the grave. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, have mercy. Lord, without thee we can do nothing. We cannot listen. We cannot preach. We need thy grace. We need thy Holy Spirit. And so we beg thee in this morning, Lord, rend the heavens, come down, and richly bless thy word for the glory of thy name. May it be that the angels may rejoice in heaven today over sinners that are brought to repentance, and that sinners that are repentant may be brought again and again, drawn to the feet of him who is the greater Boaz, the Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, may there be food and drink for poor and needy, hungry and thirsty sinners. Lord, we deserve nothing. We sin everything away. We are polluted people. But oh, may we beg thee, may we present all our cries, all our sighs, all our petitions at thy throne of grace in the name of thy dear Son. Lord, we ask thee then for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Let us continue now with singing from Psalter 368, all stanzas. 368, all stanzas in the collections for this morning is for the church, and the second for the disaster fund. 368, all stanzas. Arise, O Lord our God, arise, and enter now into thy rest. O let this house be thy abode forever with thy presence blessed. 368, all five stanzas. Dear congregation, before the administration of adult baptism, we will first listen to the word of God. And the text for this morning is from Ruth chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. Ruth 1, verses 16 and 17, where we read from the word of God. And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." So far from God's precious word. The theme for this morning is Ruth's wholehearted confession. Ruth's wholehearted confession. And we will consider 4 points. And children, each point has a word that begins with the same letter. So first point, the desire of her confession. Ruth had a desire. Where did Ruth have this desire from? So the first is the desire of her confession. The second is the distinction made by her confession. There is a distinction between Ruth and Orpah. There's a distinction made by a wholehearted confession. The third, the dedication connected to her confession. She was dedicated. She had a dedication in her heart. And there was consequences. So the dedication connected to her confession. And the last thought, the declaration in her confession. What was she really saying? And so with the help of the Lord, Ruth's wholehearted confession. The desire, the distinction, the dedication, and the declaration of her confession. Congregation, we hear in Ruth 1, 16 and 17, a very beautiful confession. It came out of Ruth, out of her mouth. It came out of the depth of her heart. Why did this woman, this Moabitess Gentile woman, make such a confession, such a beautiful, amazing confession? Where did it come from? How did she make this? She was a woman of Moab. She was a Gentile. And through this confession, we hear the desire of Ruth. Should we praise Ruth for this confession? Ruth, what a beautiful confession. Should we praise Ruth? No, we don't praise Ruth, but we praise God who works in the hearts of sinners. No sinner by nature will ever make true confession of faith or such a confession. God chose Ruth, and therefore Ruth chose God. It all began by God. God. What the Lord Jesus Christ said to disciples can also be said to Ruth and also each and one of you who have the grace of God in their hearts. What is it? John 15, verse 6. "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain." In God's providence and mercy, Ruth, through the instrument of Naomi, especially her, she heard. She heard the word of God. She heard the gospel. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, it didn't only enter into her ears, it went into her heart. Through the word and by the power of the Holy Spirit, she was born again. There was a desire born in her heart. And out of that desire born in her heart, she confessed out of her mouth that beautiful confession. So all the glory goes to the Lord for his free and sovereign grace. Jesse, in God's providence, you also were brought under the word of God. It's the Lord's goodness. It was His mercy. You heard it. You believed it. You were taught, and you make confession, public confession of faith. No, you didn't live in Moab. But you didn't live under the truth, under the administration of the covenant of grace. You were born outside, but God, in His goodness and His mercy, brought you to His word. It's His goodness. Congregation, you were born under the truth. What a goodness. But God also brings those that need to be brought under. He brings them to the truth, or He brings the truth to them. And then think for a moment. Thousands, millions in this world who are under darkness. And why? Why have you, Jesse, why have you, congregation, boys and girls, adults, why have you been brought in God's goodness under the truth? So this morning, we don't look at Ruth. We don't look at Jesse in the first place, but maybe look to God. Maybe give glory to God for His goodness, for His work, for His grace in the hearts of sinners. Our hope is only in Him. It all begins with God. Ruth's desire began because God began with her. And Jesse had a desire to make a public confession of faith and to be baptized. It didn't begin with her. No, we may believe it began with God. It's God's mercy. It's God's goodness. It's God's grace. And we read in Romans 9, verse 16 and 17. For He saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. This desire of Ruth flows out of God, out of His goodness and out of His mercy. And so let's turn to the history for a moment. Naomi heard there was bread in Israel. She wants to return. And she's returning to Israel. She wants to go back home. She wants to go to Israel. And she told Orpah and Ruth that she's going to return to Moab. And we read in verse 14, but Ruth clave unto her. In Hebrew, that word clave means to cling tightly. Tightly to someone. For example, a mother that cleaves to her child to protect her. She doesn't let her go. She loves her. So Ruth cleaved. She clave unto Naomi. What caused Ruth to cling to Naomi? Was Naomi rich? Was she expecting to receive some earthly blessings? Was there an other motive in the heart of Ruth to cling to Naomi? Why did she cling to Naomi? This Gentile woman. In human perspective, you would say, Ruth, stay in Moab. There's no future for you in Israel. What Jew would want to marry a Gentile? Ruth, there's no future for you. Ruth, those Israelites, the Jews, they consider Gentiles as dogs. There's no future for you. Ruth, think about it. Stay in Moab. We don't know. Maybe that's what happened. Maybe a voice in her heart was saying, Ruth, it's hopeless. It's only going to lead to a very bleak future. Don't go. Maybe her neighbors warned her and spoke to her old friends or her family. Ruth, you're going to a place where you have absolutely no future. Don't go. Maybe you're thinking, I don't know. Maybe you're thinking, Ruth, she did this in ignorance. She didn't understand. It was just some emotions. No, I don't believe that for one moment, because I believe that Ruth heard from the mouth, especially of Naomi, about the God of Israel, about those blessings in Israel. And she made this choice. This desire that came out of her mouth was made with knowledge. She was certain what Naomi spoke about the God of Israel and those blessings of Israel was the only blessing to ever really have. And this caused her to cling to Naomi. But what more? Naomi had something. Naomi had something that she saw that she wanted. What was it? What caused this confession out of her mouth that was born from a desire in her heart? She clave to Naomi. Why? Well, she wasn't only cleaving to Naomi. In a way, she was cleaving to something much greater, to someone else. She was clinging to the God of Naomi. This Gentile woman heard about God. Heard also, I'm sure, about the coming Messiah, of those promises of the Old Testament. And she longed to belong to that God, to the people of God. Jesse, do you understand this? Do you understand this also? I believe so, from what you have said. Ruth believed in God. The word she heard was blessed in her heart. What she heard about the Messiah, what she heard, I'm sure she heard she was also sin. And she believed it. And she longed. True faith planted in the heart. What does it cause? What comes out of that faith? There comes a hunger and a thirst for the living God, for a longing to belong to Him, to His people, to belong to that blessed people, because there's no other blessings. God works that faith by His word in the heart. And faith is a gift of God. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And so this desire flows out of faith that was planted in Ruth. What's the book of Ruth all about, congregation? It's not about Ruth. It's not about Naomi. Who is it about? You say Boaz. It's all about Boaz. It's not about Boaz either. It's about God. God's plan of salvation. It's about the greater Boaz, of the precious Messiah who would come, pictured by Boaz, the kinsman redeemer who can redeem lost sinners, who can bring them back into that reconciled state that they're separated from God. It's all about the salvation of God. And we see in Ruth a beautiful picture of how God works and brings to Himself and brings to Boaz that only meter, that way that they can only be restored into the relationship with a holy God. Ruth, we know, was the mother, the great-grandmother, I could say, of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the book of Ruth was all about God fulfilling the plan of His salvation. And one other point. We see something in this book of Ruth which is very amazing. That family should have never went to Moab. Never would have should have went to. They should have stayed in Israel. It was sin, and yet through this way of sin, a great blessing was accomplished. Ruth was brought to the God of Israel. And Ben and Jesse, God stands above everything. Also, your whole lives, everything that happened, God stands above. God's plan is fulfilled. Men can sin, but God even, He's not the author of sin, but He can even give a blessing, as we see through Jacob, who was a deceiver and received the blessing. God stands above it all. And it's by Him that this morning we're here to witness the confession and the baptism of Jesse Stubby. And so in conclusion, with our first thought, we don't look at Jesse. We don't look at Ben. We don't look at the family, but may we be given this morning to look to God, of His work, of His salvation, of His one-sided, free, and sovereign grace. When we listen to her confess, may we think of God, of His goodness. May you be jealous to have the same grace that Ruth had. So Ruth's wholehearted confession, her desire. But now our second thought, at the distinction. The distinction between Ruth and Orpah. We read of Ruth's wholehearted confession in verses 16 and 17. But where do we read of the confession of Orpah? Children, do you read a confession of Orpah in this chapter? She didn't confess with her mouth. She confessed with her actions. Congregation, each and every single one of us don't only make confessions with our mouth, but with every action that you do. She makes a confession with her action. So let's consider these two women and the distinction between them. I want to ask you a personal question. No, not just for Jesse. It's for the whole congregation. Which one are you? Are you Orpah or are you Ruth? They're both Moabites. Both Moabites. Both were widows. Both were kind and friendly women. They cared for their mother-in-law. As we read in verse 8, the Lord deal kindly with you as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. They were both on that journey back with Naomi to Judah. Both. They both were ready to leave Moab. Both. Both were ready to start a new life. So in many ways, they were the same. But were they really the same? What's in their heart? And now as they travel for a while, Naomi begins to test them. To test them. Verse 8. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go return, each to her mother's house. What was the response of Ruth and Orpah in the beginning? They said, we will come with thee. We will go. We will both go. They both wept, and they both made a promise. We read in this verse 9 and 10, and they lifted up their voices and wept, and they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. So they were the same in many ways. They even said the same things. They seem the same. But are they? Are they? Who are you? Ruth or Orpah? And Naomi kept contesting them, as we read in verse 11 and 12. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters. Go your way. Why is Naomi testing them? Why is she not trying to do everything to convince these two women to come with her? Why is she testing Ruth? Why is she not doing her utmost also to convince Orpah? Why is she testing them? Naomi is wise. She knows that if they come to that land of Israel where the only God is the God of Israel, if they come there and their heart is not renewed, if they don't come with a convicted heart, with a love and a longing and a desire for the only true God of Israel, then it will be a hard life. She tests them because she wants to know what's in their hearts. A confession only with the mouth, without conviction in the heart, it's good, but it's insufficient. It's like a beautiful bouquet of flowers. They look all good on the outside, but it will die. It will all come to naught. And so she tests them because she wants to know what's in their hearts. She wants to know what's in the hearts of these two women. Are they truly, really hungering and thirsting for the living God, for the only true God of Israel? Children, teenagers especially, can you be in a relationship with someone you don't love? Can you? That's hard. That's hard living. Can a people live in a place where others only want to truly worship God, speak about God, speak about their great need, about the wonderful works of God? By nature, it will only be, I'd rather not be here. But the opposite is true also. Those that are born again, they can't live in Moab anymore because their heart is not there. And so now we see this distinction between these two women. Orpah first confesses, Naomi, I'm going back. I will go with you. This is what we read earlier. But now in verse 14 and 15, there comes a separation. We see what's in the heart of Orpah. No, she doesn't say something with her mouth, but we read something in the Word of God, of an action. What action? Look in your Bible. We read, not that she went to the gods of Moab, but back to her gods. Verse 14 and 15, she went back to her gods. Orpah didn't stay at home. She came. She came part way. She came. She was a little attracted, maybe a little touched, maybe a little convicted. But the God of Israel had not captured her heart. She was not convicted in her heart. Congregation, are you convicted in your heart of the truth? No, not here, in your heart. Are you convicted in the heart of the truth of who God is? The only true God, of Jesus Christ, of who you are, and of that only way of salvation. Jesse, are you convicted in your heart? Maybe you say, how do I know? How do I know, Pastor? Then you're like Ruth. Ruth, then you long, you hunger for that only true God. Maybe you can't say he's your God. Those are big words. But is there hunger? Is there thirst for him? Have you heard maybe from Ben or other family or in the preaching and your heart went out, oh, may I belong to him? Do you need a mediator as a lost sinner to be reconciled with God? Because your sin, and one time you said to me, Pastor, it just gets worse and worse. I just become all undone. That was music to my ears to hear that. Because that's how the Lord works. He strips. We become undone. We become lost. And at the same time, there's a hunger and a thirst for the living God. True confession flows out of a heart, a hunger for God. And so there's distinction between these two women. Orpah goes back. She goes back to Moab, back to her gods, back to live in that place without the only true living God. But Ruth clave to Naomi. What a difference, what a distinction between these two women and Ruth. She could not return. She could not go back to Moab. And Jesse, you also confessed that when you spoke with some of the consistory. You said, I could never go back to live in Moab. It's impossible, you said. I can't. I can never go back. And Ruth now makes a beautiful confession as we read in 16 and 17. God had priority in Ruth's life. And so, out of her heart came this confession of a desire, and we see a distinction. Every day we make choices, congregation, not only by your words, but also by your actions. And may I ask you, each one, take a moment to reflect what's in your heart. Does the world still have priority, all your little gods, the greatest God of self, or does God, does Jesus Christ have priority in your heart? What was the end of Orpah? We only read she went back to Moab and to her gods, and we don't read anything more of Orpah. We don't read of any returning, of coming to Israel. And so we're afraid that Orpah, she perished. She perished with her gods. She perished with the world. But those who God works in, and out of their mouth comes that true confession by God's grace, that hunger, that thirst for the only true God and for Jesus Christ. They will not perish, but they will receive eternal life. Open your Bibles, please, to the first epistle of John, and we'll read some verses that show a great contrast. And may the Lord bless his word. 1 John 2, we'll read verse 15 and 17 first. 1 John 2, verse 15 and 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And now 1 John 2, verse 17. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. My friend, if you still love the world and die this way, then you will perish with the world. But on the contrast, If you, by God's grace, have become a recipient of God's grace as Ruth, then we read in 1 John 5, verse 4 and 5. 1 John 5, verse 4 and 5. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. And so we heard a little bit about the desire. We see a little bit about the distinction between Ruth and Orpah. We must say, Orpah, Orpah, you're so foolish. You're so foolish. And young people, you, maybe you could have made confession of faith this year, but yet the world has still captured, it's in your hearts. I must say, that's foolish, young people. It's foolish. It will only end in death. May God work in you, that you may make that true choice. And may it be by God's grace, that confession that Ruth made. And Ruth, she made a confession that made a it's a distinction by God's grace. And I'm sure she would have said, as Paul said, in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10, by the grace of God, I am what I am. It's all by God's grace. Let us sing together, standing. Psalter 188, stanzas 1, 3, and 4. 188, 1, 3, and 4. Make haste, O my God, to deliver, I pray. O Lord, to my rescue, make haste. Let those who would harm me be filled with dismay. And in their own folly, disgraced. 188, stanzas 1, 3, and 4, standing.
Thank you.
Ruth's wholehearted confession. We heard about the desire, the distinction. Now our third thought, the dedication connected to her confession. What did this mean for Ruth? What does it mean for those recipients of grace who make this dedication, this confession, connected with a dedication in their hearts? It has consequences, congregation. It has consequences, Jesse. Consequences. Being dedicated to serve only God and that only Savior, Jesus Christ, to follow Him and nothing else. That has consequences. Being dedicated. No, it's not. Ruth was dedicated by her own free will. No, it was by God's grace. She was dedicated to God who worked in her. Being a true disciple, being a true disciple of Jesus Christ has costs, congregation. Costs. The Lord Jesus Christ said this himself, Luke 14, verse 26 and 27. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brother and sisters, yea, and his own life, also he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Congregation, friends, Jesse, to be dedicated, to make that confession and being dedicated to only serve Him has consequences. There was consequences for Ruth. Yes, there was. What was the consequence? Let's think about it for a moment. She was going to be separated from her family. She had to leave Israel, and her family was going to stay in Moab. A separation. That's painful. That's painful. And yet, she couldn't stay with them. She had to go. No, she longed to go. She longed to go. To be in that place where God was. To be able to receive those blessings of God. She could not go and stay in her mother's house. She couldn't. She had to go. Consequences. Yes, consequences. Jesse, you also. No, you're not asked to leave Cortland. You don't need to go to Judah. And yet you know in your own life the consequences of former friends that aren't friends anymore, of how your family also speak to you and look to you. We read in Matthew 10, verse 37, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. But to have God's favor, that's everything. That's life. And so Ruth couldn't stay there. And I believe also, Jesse, you couldn't stay with your family anymore into that place of darkness under, not under the truth. You had to leave. Consequences. Consequences. Being dedicated to God to obey and to serve has consequences. Consequences. What else for Jesse? She was probably going to a place where she could never be married, probably never have children in her estimation. Because who would want to marry a Gentile? What Jew? What man? But also she was going to a place where she could not enter into the tabernacle to worship. We read in the Deuteronomy, no Moabite could come into the place of worship. Consequences. And yet she clave unto Naomi. And yet she made this confession of her heart. Why? Because of those cords of love of God that drew her to Himself. She could not do anything else but go. Because of that love for the God of Israel. For Him and for Him alone. This dedication in her heart to God would cause a separation also, I believe, from her dear earthly friend Orpah. Think of what they went together, widows. They both lost their husband. And we know that when you understand each other, especially in the ways of deep grief, there's a bond. She had to leave Orpah behind, probably never to see her again, ever in her life. She had to say goodbye. And yet she made this confession. Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. She had to go. She went. Jesse, the Lord, he desires above all your heart. Your heart. He desires your heart, that you love him above Ben, above your dear boys, above your whole family. And he says to you, to all of us, in Proverbs 23, verse 6, my son, give me thine heart, and let thy eyes observe my ways. It cannot only be here. It needs to be here by the grace of God. Wholehearted confession includes a dedicated heart to God under all circumstances. Yes, not only in the good times, but also in the hard times. And we need grace upon grace upon grace. Jesus Christ and God must be the priority in the heart. I must die, and he must be everything. He said, the Lord Jesus in Luke 16, verse 13, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Many consequences, costs. But is it worth it, congregation? Is it really worth it? Congregation, what a question. That's not even a question. It is, because that gain by God's grace, it's better than everything. What is it? Oh, to have a little favor of God. That's life. That's everything. And Moab, there is no favor of God, because that's a place of sin. But to have a little something of that sweet communion with God, that's everything. Those consequences that we may feel in our life to really be dedicated are really absolutely nothing. Painful for the flesh. But when the Lord comes and visits, gives a little token, gives a little blessing, oh, that is so sweet. That's above it all. Above all. But by God's grace, those who have that desire born in their heart by his grace, have that clear distinction by his grace, and are dedicated to him, that's his work, and they will receive salvation, and they will receive everything. They will receive eternal life to be forever with God. With God. It costs, painful for the flesh, but such rich blessings for the soul. But it costs Christ, who is dedicated to do the will of his Father, dedicated to do that will, that eternal will. It cost him everything. It cost him his life. It cost him his blood. It cost him everything. And he gave it willingly, freely, so that what? So Ruth, wretched sinners like Ruth, could receive the favor of God and communion eternally. But what was Ruth really saying with her confession? Let's think about that for a few moments. The declaration of her confession. Ruth's confession was a wholehearted confession, born out of the desire of her heart by God's grace. A distinction made between others and dedicated. But what was she really saying? Let's read verse 16 and 17 again together. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. Ruth is saying, Naomi, I cannot go back. I abandon everything of my former past life. I abandon it all. All those things that I thought was good and pleasant. All those things that gave me joy. All those other things, Naomi, I leave it all behind. I can't live in my past life anymore. I can't. It's not attractive to me anymore. It's all death. Because to be without God, it's death. Naomi, I don't only want to cleave to you. I want to cleave to the God of you. I want to cleave to the only true God, and I want to follow him no matter what the cost. Is that your heart? Is that your heart? Is that your heart, congregation? Jesse, is that in your heart? Is that in your heart? As I said before, you said it yourself. You can't go back to Moab. Oh, I pray that God has begun in your heart. And if he has begun in your heart, he will keep you and guide you and lead you, not only together with your husband and your children, but especially for your own soul. He will never, ever forsake the works of his own hands. He's that good shepherd, that faithful shepherd of poor, wretched sheep that become absolutely undone in self. Ruth said, for whither thou goest, I will go. She's saying, Lord, lead me, lead me, lead me, lead me, lead me, lead me every day, lead me. Is that in your heart? Lord, lead me. What did Paul say? What would thou hast to do? It's the same confession. Is that your heart? What will thou have me to do? Not wanting to do your own thing. For whither thou goest, I will go. She wants to be led. She wants to be guided. She wants to be taught. She wants to be kept. She surrenders. She's surrendering to God, to the Almighty God, no matter what the cost. Ruth didn't know the future. No. And Jesse, you don't know all the future. We don't know the future, congregation. But one thing we may do, we may look up unto the Almighty God as Ruth did, looking up to him. Jesse, may you trust in the Lord, as we read in Psalm 37, verse 5 and 7. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Ruth waited for Boaz. And may I say this with my whole heart? Wait. Wait for the greater Boaz, for him to come, to him to bless you, because that's life, that's everything. That's better than any love that anyone else can give you. And Ruth said, where thou lodgest, I will lodge. What does that mean? That means she wants to be with her. She wants to be with her during the day, during the night. She wants to be where she sleeps. She wants to be with Naomi. No, she wants to be always with the God of Naomi, because that's life. She wants to live in the company of good people. Not people that tell lies. People that only tell her the truth. She wants to live with Naomi, with the God of Naomi, in all circumstances. Jesse, be like Ruth. Look up to the Lord. Love everyone, but especially seek godly friends, those who can help you on your life, on that walk, on that journey to a never-ending eternity. And I believe and also trust that Ben may be that help me for you. May he give grace for both of you. Congregation, making confession makes a separation. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17 and 18. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Yes, this is God's word, not mine. And I will receive you, and will be a father unto you. A father unto you. Is that what you long for? Is that your heart? Oh, that God, that God of Israel, that only true God, that God that I have sinned against, oh, that he may be my father, be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Almighty God. And then she says, thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. She doesn't say, and thy God is my God. She says, and thy God, it's the desire that he would be my God. She confesses from the depth of her heart. She longs for that only true God. And maybe, Jesse, as we have spoke, you struggled. How can I make public confession of faith? How can I be baptized when I cannot claim that I belong to the only true God? When I cannot claim and confess with my whole heart that Jesus Christ is my Savior? But the question this morning, Jesse, who of God's people can say this every day? But the question is, Jesse, is your heart like Ruth? That same longing, that same desire, that the only true God would be your God, and that only true Savior would be your Savior, that you need Him, and there's no other gods, there's no other life, but it's only in Him. And then Ruth makes a lifelong commitment. Where thou diest, I will die, and there will I be buried. She never wants to live again without Naomi. No, she does not ever want to live again without God. That's her heart. She wants to always be seeking Him, serving Him. Oh, to have His favor is life. That's her heart. She wants His favor. She wants to be with Him ever. And she ends with an oath. The Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. And so we heard her desire. We heard the distinction. We heard also the dedication and her declaration. And Ruth, we know the history. She was brought in God's providence upon that field of the greater Boaz, and then she became married to him. That speaks of that wonderful covenant of grace of salvation. And baptism speaks about the covenant of Jehovah, that faithful keeping covenant Jehovah, who will be married unto absolute unworthy sinners through His Son. The covenant of grace. I believe it was Kirsten wrote, where the sinner becomes the property of God, and God becomes the property of the sinner. That's in that covenant of grace. Oh, to belong to Him is life. That's everything. Jesse, have no rest until you may rest under the wings of that greater Boaz. That greater Boaz. That faithful Boaz. That Boaz who will keep you, guide you, lead you, and give you that only comfort for life and for death. Ruth was a blessed woman because of God's grace. Jesse, I pray that you are the same by God's grace, that you're blessed. And we read in Psalm 2, verse 12, blessed are all they that put their trust in Him. They will never, ever be ashamed. It will be tried. It will be ups and downs. But He remains faithful. Then look unto Him, from whence cometh all your help. Amen. Let us now turn to the form of baptism. The form of baptism, which I believe you can find in the back of your Psalter, page 126. The form for the administration of baptism. The principal parts of the doctrine of holy baptism are these three. First, that we with our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are children of wrath, insomuch that we cannot enter into the kingdom of God except we are born again. This the dipping in, or sprinkling with water, teaches us, whereby the impurity of our souls is signified, and we admonish to loathe and humble ourselves before God and seek for purification and salvation without ourselves. Secondly, holy baptism witnesseth and sealeth unto us the washing away of our sins through Jesus Christ. Therefore we are baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. For when we are baptized in the name of the Father, God the Father witnesseth and sealeth unto us that He doth make an eternal covenant of grace with us and adopts us for His children and heirs. and therefore will provide us with every good thing and avert all evil or turn it to our profit. And when we are baptized in the name of the Son sealeth unto us that he doth wash us in his blood from all our sins, incorporating us into the fellowship of his death and resurrection, so that we are freed from all our sins and accounted righteous before God. In like manner, when we are baptized in the name of the Holy Ghost assures us by this holy sacrament that he will dwell in us and sanctify us to be members of Christ, applying unto us that which we have in Christ, namely the washing away of our sins and the daily renewing of our lives, till we shall finally be presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. Thirdly, whereas in all covenants there are contained two parts, therefore are we by God through baptism admonished of and obliged unto new obedience, namely, that we cleave to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and that we trust in him and love him with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our mind, and with all our strength, that we forsake the world, crucify our old nature, and walk in a new and holy life. And if we sometimes through weakness fall into sin, we must not therefore despair of God's mercy, nor continue in sin, since baptism is a seal and undoubted testimony that we have an eternal covenant of grace with God. And now we turn to the part to adult persons. When they who have not been baptized in their youth desire to receive Christian baptism upon having come to the years of discretion, they must first be instructed in the doctrines of the Christian religion, and having upon a good confession of these doctrines, either before the consistory, before them whom the consistory has delegated to that end, or publicly, whatever each church seems to be most edifying, they shall be admitted to holy baptism, and the form which follows hereafter shall be used for its administration. However, children of Christian parents, although they understand not this mystery, must be baptized by virtue of the covenant. Yet it is not lawful to baptize those who are come to years of discretion, except they first be sensible of their sins and make confession both of their repentance and faith in Christ. For this cause did not only John the Baptist preach, according to the command of God, the baptism of his repentance, and baptized for the remission of sins those who confess their sins, as we read in Mark 1 and Luke 3. But our Lord Jesus Christ also commanded his disciples to teach all nations, and then to baptize them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Matthew 28 and Mark 16, adding this promise, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, according to which rule the apostles, as appeareth from Acts 2, 10, and 16, baptized none who were of years of discretion, but such as made confession of their faith and repentance. Therefore it is not lawful now to baptize any other adult person than such as have been taught the mysteries of holy baptism by the preaching of the gospel, and are able to give an account of their faith by the confession of the mouth, that therefore this holy ordinance of God may be administered to his glory, to our comfort, and to the edification of his church. Let us call upon his holy name. Let us pray together. O Almighty and eternal God, thou who hast, according to thy severe judgment, punish the unbelieving and unrepentant world with the flood, and hast according to thy great mercy saved and protected believing Noah and his family, thou who hast drowned the obstinate Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, and hast led thy people Israel through the midst of the sea upon dry ground, by which baptism is signified, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased of thy infinite mercy graciously to look upon this person and incorporate her by thy Holy Spirit into thy Son, Jesus Christ, that she may be buried with him into his death and be raised with him in newness of life, that she may daily follow him, joyfully bearing his cross, and cleave unto him in true faith, firm hope, and ardent love, that she may with a comfortable sense of thy favor leave this life, which is nothing but a continual death, and that the last day may appear without terror before the judgment seat of Christ, thy Son, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost, one only God, lives and reigns forever. Amen. Jesse, may I ask you to please rise? Since therefore thou, Jesse Hannah Stubby, art also desirous of holy baptism, to the end that it may be to thee a seal of thine ingrafting into the church of God, that it may appear that thou dost not only receive the Christian religion in which thou hast been privately instructed by us, and of which also thou hast made confession before us, but that thou, through the grace of God, intendest and purpose to leave a life according to the same. Thou art sincerely to give answer before God and his church. Jesse, first, dost thou believe in the only true God, distinct in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, who has made heaven and earth and all that in them is of nothing, and still maintains and governs them, insomuch that nothing comes to pass, either in heaven or on earth, without his divine will? Jesse, what is thy answer? Secondly, Jesse, dost thou believe that thou art conceived and born in sin, and therefore art a child of wrath by nature, wholly incapable of doing any good, and prone to all evil, and that thou hast frequently, in thought, word, and deed, transgressed the commandments of the Lord, and whether thou art heartily sorry for these sins? Jesse, what is thy answer? Jesse, dost thou believe that Christ, who is the true and eternal God and very man, who took his human nature on him out of the flesh and blood of the Virgin Mary, is given thee of God to be thy Savior, and that thou dost receive by this faith remission of sins in his blood, and thou art made by the power of the Holy Ghost a member of Jesus Christ and his church? Jesse, what is thy answer? Jesse, dost thou assent to all the articles of the Christian religion as they are taught here in this Christian church, according to the word of God, and purpose steadfastly to continue in the same doctrine to the end of thy life? And also, dost thou reject all heresies and schisms repugnant to this doctrine, and promise to persevere in the communion of the Christian church, not only in the hearing of the word, but also in the use of the Lord's Supper? Jesse, what is thy answer? Lastly, Jesse, hast thou taken a firm resolution always to lead a Christian life, to forsake the world and its evil lusts, as is becoming the members of Christ and his church, and to submit thyself to all Christian admonitions? Jesse, what is your answer? The good and great God mercifully grant his grace and blessing to this purpose through Jesus Christ. Amen. Congregation, let us now sing from Psalter 289, stanzas 1 and 2. And after baptism, we will sing Psalter 422, verse 6. So now we will sing 289, 1 and 2. And after the Amen of baptism, Psalter 422, stanzas 6. Thank you. Jesse Hannah Stubby, I baptize thee in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us close in thanksgiving. Almighty God and merciful Father, we thank and praise thee that thou hast forgiven us and our children all our sins through the blood of thy Son Jesus Christ, and received us through thy Holy Spirit as members of thy only begotten Son, and adopted us to be thy children, and sealed and confirmed the same unto us by holy baptism. We beseech thee that through the same Son of thy love, that thou wilt be pleased always to govern this baptized person by thy Holy Spirit, and that she may lead a Christian and godly life, and increase and grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that she may acknowledge thy fatherly goodness and mercy, which thou hast shown to her and to us, and live in all righteousness under our only teacher, King, and High Priest, Jesus Christ, and that she may manfully fight against all sin, the devil, and his whole dominion to the end, that she may eternally praise and magnify thee, thy Son, Jesus Christ, together with the Holy Ghost, the one only true God. Amen. Let us close now in singing from Psalter 280, stanzas 1 and 4. 280, 1 and 4. O my soul, bless thou Jehovah, all within me bless his name. Bless Jehovah and forget not all his mercies to proclaim. He forgives all thy transgressions, heals thy sicknesses and pains. He redeems thee from destruction, and his love thy life sustains. 280, 1 and 4.
Thank you.
congregation, receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.